Welcome to The Wild Hunt. We are an unofficial podcast having a casual conversation about the History Channel television series Vikings. We are No Ship Network. I am your host, Steve.
I'm Em.
And I'm Paul.
If you want to be part of the conversation, you can reach us at our website at noship.net. That's noship.net. We may include your feedback in our next cast. If you want to support us, the best way to do so is to rate us and or review us on iTunes.
Okay, thank you for joining us today. We are discussing Vikings Season 2, Episode 3, Treachery. What did you guys think?
Excellent, excellent episode.
It was a curious episode, because half of it, you know, it's hard. Half of it, I just wasn't sure exactly the direction. You know, it made me think of, I don't know. I loved it. I'm just not sure exactly how to put it into words, what I'm looking for.
I felt like it was an ambitious episode because I knew that, you know, they were eventually going to show us the more adult Bjorn and Lagertha and get to that section of the story, and they did so. But then they also had all the Vikings raiding in Wessex, and then they also had what's going on with Jarl Borg. It was like three stories wrapped into one. I didn't think they were going to do that, so it was a little bit ambitious, but I believe they pulled it off.
Mm-hmm.
They set up a lot of different things that are about to... I mean, the next episode has got an ominous title. It's called Eye for an Eye.
Ooh.
And we got another episode that's coming up later called Blood Eagle.
Sweet.
That's not good.
I don't know if I mentioned it in the intro, but this one's called Treachery.
Yes. I mentioned it.
Oh, you did. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Now it's been mentioned twice, so now you know.
And this viewing, we figured out what Athelstan said to Floki, because when we watched it last time, there wasn't even the... captioning that they normally put to translate wasn't available.
Now, do you think that was a mistake, or do you think that they didn't want to reveal to us what he was saying to Floki till now for some reason? It almost seems like they got to this episode and they said, okay, now it's important for you to know as the viewer what he was saying to Floki.
Mm-hmm. I think that sounds more right. They just wanted to make us think about it.
I think it was intentional because of what happens later on in the episode, because there's a lot of interplay between, you know, Athelstan and Floki, so.
Yeah, they didn't, because sometimes, like we've seen on Farscape, like they won't show stuff until you see it in the clip on the previously before clip.
Yeah.
So, but the way last episode Floki called him priest was pretty antagonizing, so they kind of set it up a little bit last episode for the way they interact.
I kind of have a problem with it, too. Not in the sense that I'm being critical of the writing, but I like both of those characters, and I don't like the fact that they have an antagonistic relationship.
See, I like it. It gives it a little more of a realistic... Because we've seen Floki have issues with Catholicism and other gods, so of course Athelstan's really going to have to prove himself to him, because he's always going to be a priest to another religion that's just kind of hanging out with...
It's a good point. Everybody. It does make it more realistic.
Yeah. If he was just like, oh, best friends. Yeah. It was nice seeing this side to Floki for me. I mean, it really showed he looked menacing to me for the first time ever.
Yeah.
That's the word that was coming to mind, too. He looks menacing. He's just like violence is always just around the corner with him.
Yeah. They showed us another side of the Vikings that I kind of forget about in the first season. You know,
makes you feel wary, like if you were around him. Yeah. Then you have to keep in mind the history of, you know, Christians and Scandinavians. And I did read that when priests did start coming over and doing their missionary type missions in Scandinavia, they were considered very low on the totem pole of society, priests were. So I don't know how that plays, you know, at this particular time in 796 or whatever. But
you think Floki's a little bit... I don't know, resentful of the fact that Ragnar listens to this guy, too.
He's also resentful of Rollo. I think it could be just the whole religious thing, but he could also have just like a jealousy streak, too.
Mm-hmm. It could be. I mean, we're going to learn more as we go, for sure. So
yeah. Okay, so we'll just go ahead and get into the recap. Of course, this was written by Michael Hirst, and this episode was directed by Ken Garrody. Sorry if I mangled that. This episode opens up in Wessex. The Vikings are scouting Winchester and hoping for treasure. Athelstan promises there will be treasure.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness that was true what he said. Okay, so now we have a scene with King Ecbert. He's speaking to a committee of sorts about these Northmen that he has had some experience with. And I was so grateful that he was not in the room by himself. Did you guys think that at first, that he was just talking to himself?
No, I didn't. You know what I thought was going to happen? And they kept showing his face where I guess you could get the impression that he was talking to himself and he was maybe a little bit cuckoo in the head. I thought he was going to be having a meeting with the other king from,
Oh, Ella.
yeah, Ella from the first season who sworn blood vengeance against Ragnar. I thought that's where that was kind of going, but I was wrong.
Well, we're introduced to his son, Ethelwulf. And I don't know how much of Ethelwulf we're going to see, but Ethelwulf does eventually get the throne, and then he's actually the father of Alfred the Great,
Oh, wow.
among other kings of England, like Ethelred also. But anyway, Ethelwulf is introduced. King,
That's funny.
he's also father of his first son is named Æthelstan,
Huh.
but it's not the same Æthelstan,
No,
obviously.
maybe that's where they pulled the name, though, you know?
Well, there's another Æthelstan called Æthelstan the Glorious, and I don't know if he's supposed to be representing him in some way, but I guess we'll find out. Anyway, King Ecgbert puts it into Ethelwulf's hands to raise an army, and he wants to watch these Vikings before they strike.
Smart. See the direction they're gonna go.
So we finally get to see Lagertha
Looking great.
I know.
and her disappointingly cliche husband.
Well, she, you know, even just when we first see her, you see her in the nice, she looks wealthy still. So it was interesting to see, you know, that she's an earl's,
Yes.
another earl's wife.
She's trying to take care of her son. And the fact that he's cliche makes me think he's not long for this world. They're not like bothering to flesh out his character too much.
Well, we knew that when he struck her.
Oh, it's actually what he says after he strikes her. It was just so cliche. I'm sorry, I can't control myself.
It's surprising that she just took it.
I
It's
know.
like all that last season, she wouldn't put up with anybody's shit.
I wrote here, I was a little miffed that she let this happen without consequence, but I'm going to trust in Michael Hurst and this will have some sort of payoff eventually.
Oh, we're gonna, that guy's gonna get it. I mean, it's
Well,
obvious.
think about it from this point of view. You know, Lagertha and Ragnar are in love. They had a relationship. So if he was to do something like that, she would just go crazy on him and start beating his ass, you know? And I mean, they actually sparred together. They have a physical relationship on several different fronts. So, but in this situation, she might be looking out for her son's well-being. You know, if she hits him and she gets on the outs with everybody in this Earl's court, then what's going to happen to her son? So,
True. It just turns out to be clear that's what she's there for.
yeah, sucks.
And he hits her because she tells him that he does not love Bjorn, that he does not love anyone, and that he does not know how to. But he promises to make sure Bjorn has a good future, and this is the only thing that seemed to make that slap forgivable on her face. So once he said that, the Vikings are slowly approaching Winchester. A monk spies them off in the distance and rings warning bells and yells for people to run and hide. The town panics. Their meager force prepares themselves for battle. The Vikings enter Winchester and are soon charged by the British soldiers. Æthelstan is killing along with the other Vikings. They take out the remaining soldiers on horseback and they prepare to enter the chapel.
Are they
These guys are a
slaughtered?
sorry lot of fighters.
Yeah.
I don't think the Vikings suffered one casualty
No, they
during this.
slaughtered them.
Once again, well done fight sequence too. It seems, I mean, I don't know a lot about fighting, but it just seems more realistic, like less of a choreograph type sensibility to it.
It's not very flashy.
No,
It's
but it's still really fun to watch. So they approach the chapel
The main.
and our monastery, and they worry it might be a trap, which I think is kind of funny. I mean, it's obviously you have to be wary, but how do you describe that? Like,
Would they're just being overly cautious?
Well, I mean, it's smart because I didn't expect the English to come out charging the way they did. If I was going to defend my town, I would have, just like Rollo does later, I would have set up a perimeter and had my people waiting. That they even ran out to them like that makes no sense at all. So in their mind was, well, we already just completely decimated what they've got. What if they have a whole nother group
group in
ready to
there.
come out? And the way that they've been using arrows and everything else, you open the doors and you have 15 archers ready to let loose. that could be, devastating to what they have already. They have got to be extra careful. They've lost half their force just in the storm.
And they had Torstein up high on that, whatever he was standing on, to start launching arrows into the door.
Ragnar's facial expression whenever he's like, all right,
Open.
yeah.
The way he says it too, he's just kind of like, open. He knows that they've got nothing on the other side of that door.
Okay, so Floki points out that there is no treasure and says to Ragnar, why do you always listen to him?
That's that resentment coming up. He's just like he's trying to poke at him and find reasons to make him a flawed character.
Athelstan reveals the hiding place that holds treasure and the remains of a saint. And then Athelstan explains to Ragnar how he knows of the hiding place. Ragnar wants to know what a saint is and what use are they.
And in the background, you just see Floki giving him the stink eye the entire time. He should be listening to me.
This scene was neat because Athelstan had to explain to Ragnar what a saint was, what a miracle was, and something else. There was a third thing too, and these were just foreign concepts to a Viking. You're like, what's a miracle?
With Floki in the background, stink eyeing and playing with bones. I thought he was gonna make like a chess piece or something out of the bones, like wear it as a hat. I don't know. I thought something was gonna come out of it.
Torstein discovers the hidden locals and he offers them no mercy whatsoever.
No.
Meanwhile, Athelstan walks into the monastery scriptorium. I had to look up that word.
This is a really cool part.
Yes.
Seeing the struggle between the two, because you figure it's the first time in 6 years he's seen anything that
Yeah,
reminds
probably
him of
roughly about
home.
6 years, yeah. And here he is seeing himself. That was him
And
at that
killing
time.
himself.
Yeah.
That's another hero's journey.
Are we gonna assume this is symbolic?
Absolutely.
Not to be taken just literally, but
No.
it's also he's taken that final step over the edge.
Yeah, there's no coming back from this one. Because when the bishop, is it a bishop that comes in?
Yes, it is a
Yes, it was
bishop.
and tells
Bishop
him,
Swithern.
eventually we're gonna have you and you're gonna get punished the
He
worst out of all
calls
of
him a
these.
Judas by calling him an apostate, right?
And he tells him he's gonna crucify him.
Yeah. And then Floki comes in and drags him out front by the end of the axe.
Yeah, he takes them out to where they're terrorizing the other inhabitants. King Horik angrily approaches the bishop and calls him a liar for the because Christians are known for saying that there is only one God. King Horik says the gods hate you, but I hate you even more. The bishop responds in Latin with, and I decided to try to look that up, and I had to struggle with it, and I roughly translate it to meaning either farewell or hello to both celebrated and the precious, which I can only make sense of by assuming he was defying King Horik by welcoming his own death and soon to see his god, possibly. I'm not
Yeah,
really
that's the
quite
only thing
sure.
that makes any sense.
I like the way they did the transition with the language again in this one. It was even more prominent where you'd see one group of people speaking in their language and then the other you can understand them in English. And then they would flip-flop it with a sentence to the other one. And in this scene especially, it came out strong. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's like they kind of give you a cue. Okay, we're speaking another language. They just do like a sentence just to
Exactly.
trigger you, and then it's
Really
cool.
well done.
I like the fact that they do that with the language because they're trusting us, the audience, to, and
To
because
get it.
they understand that we're smart enough, and that's good.
Yeah,
Because there's a lot of
absolutely.
other shows that don't do that.
Shows, movies, I mean it happens. It's the only other thing only other I think it was in 13th
The
Warrior,
Warrior,
they do
yeah.
that and
When he's
it's
learning the
really
language
well
at the
done.
fireside, that was, yeah.
Well, another movie that comes to mind is A Hunt for Red October because you've
Oh,
got
they do that also.
they're talking in Russian with subtitles throughout the first like 10 or 15 minutes or maybe less or of the movie, and then they switch to English and they just want to get you used to the fact these guys are talking
That's a
Russian,
good
but
pull.
now we're going to let you hear us in English so we don't have to read subtitles for the rest of the flick.
I haven't seen that forever. I forgot.
Oh, it's a great
Saw it on
movie.
the plane when I was moving from one country to another. I don't remember which one.
Sean Connery
Yeah,
playing
Sean
a
Connery as a
Russian.
Russian general or Russian
Alec
naval
Baldwin was in
officer.
it, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
It's a good movie.
King Horik punches the bishop in the face. King Horik has him tied up, and some of the Vikings take turns shooting him with arrows. Athelstan is unhappy. In the kitchen, Ragnar inspects bread, which informs his discovery of the treasure somehow. Or was he just like, wow, this bread's good?
I think it
Is
was
there more in
it's that the
the
oven.
oven?
I
I
think
think
it's
this bread's cold.
Because usually, I mean, those types of ovens you're going to leave open. So you've got to clean it, everything.
He does it so lazily, you know?
With his sword, he's like,
Yeah. And then he makes another discovery, a hidden child, and he hides the child under a cloak or a blanket. And to me, this is the strength of his character as a hero. But I'm wondering, you know, the one man's strength is another man's weakness. Is this going to be the weakness that Siggy will inform King Horik about on
It
Ragnar?
could be. I thought he was going to take the child back with him like he did Athelstan, but then he just covers it up.
This scene was interesting to me because I think it binds Athelstan and Ragnar a little bit closer together because they both have weak spots for certain things. Because Athelstan was telling that bishop, run and hide, you know, get out of here. You don't have to die. This is going to happen regardless, but you don't have to die. And Ragnar was doing the same thing. This is a child. This isn't innocent. And he really has a thing for little kids
And
and
baby
baby
goats.
goats. And so, you know, he was just kind of like, they both have their soft spot.
Yeah, because
So.
when Floki was taunting Athelstan with the Bible, it was like taunting a junkie with like a little baggie full of white powder, you know? But the way he looked at it was just all, ugh.
He's sick. Well, he's also getting sick of him, like, come on.
So Ragnar walks into the chapel and observes from afar the torture of the bishop. He seems to not approve, but he lets it happen, which his ruling style is interesting, which
And
will
he leaves, you know.
Yeah, and when he leaves, he has a, I think, a sad look on his face, but I mean, you could probably interpret that differently. But he's also there to observe Athelstan, because Athelstan stops the Vikings from further torture, and then he releases the bishop by slitting his throat.
Now, let me ask you guys, do you think that this served a dual purpose? Because it showed that he was willing to kill somebody of his own religion.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, I mean, do you think that the other Vikings saw it that way? Or do you think that they saw it as him just putting this guy out of his misery?
I think both, you know.
Because I know the teenage Viking that they had with him,
King
who
Hork's son.
King Horik's son, yeah, because he was like, put one through his mouth and stop him from talking, you know, because he's muttering in Latin the whole time. And
Right.
he was about to do it. And then Athelstan puts him out of his misery. So how do you guys think that the other Vikings saw
Like,
that?
saw it? Well, I don't know. I think they might take it for face value. Like, okay, he let him torture him for quite a while. If he had been a total baby about it, you know, then I think they would have had an issue. But that he was just kind of like, you know, he let him do it for a while, then he went up and killed him. I think there's a small amount of respect, but they just take Athelstan at total face value of what he is, except for Loki or Floki. Keep wanting to put that L there. You know, I think he's the one. He's really the only one that gives him any shit.
I agree about Floki. I think he's probably going to read it more without giving him the benefit of the doubt. Possibly King Horik's son might have been upset that he just didn't get to shoot the arrow in the mouth, you know.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Or it could be, you know, distrust. And then Ragnar, I think, actually respects Athelstan. And those are only really three Vikings I could even try to guess what they're thinking.
Well, a lot of the other ones were busy raping and pillaging,
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
in that scene. And this serves to let us remember that these guys are invaders. They're doing bad things. You know, it's not a team of good guys that we just get to root
No.
for. You know, so History Channel is really stepping up to the plate with this and kind of showing you that this is what happened historically. These aren't like the protagonists in some sort of drama.
Bjorn, finally, we get to see Bjorn. He watches his mother walk through the common room. He confronts her about her husband, who is an earl, which we've already mentioned, and he co confronts her about her him hitting her. She says it will not happen again, and she says it like it will not happen again. Don't worry about it. And he asks her, what would Ragnar say? And this angers her at first, but then she realizes his point. Bjorn reminds her to be proud of her association with Ragnar.
Well, she's been feeding that kid beef and Wheaties because he's freaking massive. He's just about Rolo size.
It's like
He's definitely
the
taller than
biggest
his dad.
4-year growth spurt ever, but he kept the same haircut. I mean, exactly.
Cool
That's
haircut.
for us.
Yeah.
This is definitely him.
Yeah, so you know it's Bjorn.
Good choice in actor, though. I mean, he still kind of looks like that kid before, you
Yeah,
know?
Nathan O'Toole.
Yeah,
And some
absolutely.
of his mannerisms are kind of like Ragnar when he's sitting at the table. And we might be jumping ahead of ourselves at this point to talk about that scene, but when he's talking to the Earl, the way he was looking at him and just the way he was moving his mouth and enunciating his words, he reminded me of Ragnar. So.
The actor's name is Alexander Ludwig, and the other Bjorn was Nathan O'Toole. I just want to say that real quick. Yeah, he did remind me of Ragnar as well. But I think they also picked both actors, Nathan O'Toole and I think Alexander Ludwig, resemble Catherine Winnick, who plays Lagertha. So Oslo gives birth to Sigurd, Snake in the Eye. So were you happy to see how they
Yeah, that
displayed the snake in the eye?
was really cool. And it, she damn sure is a seer because she called it.
Yeah, and it was disturbed Siggy.
Yeah, see, Siggy Stardust had that look on her face, like, what is this? What's wrong with this kid's eye?
We got a nickname, Siggy Stardust.
Well, Squiggy's just as good too. I mean,
Oh,
it's not,
both.
yeah.
Oh boy.
But I don't know how many people are going to get the Squiggy reference, because that's
It's getting a
old
bit
Laverne and
dated.
Shirley. I
Yeah,
know
Laverne and Shirley. I
she's
mean,
my age.
when I was, I mean, I'm almost 39, and when I was watching that show, like in the fourth grade, it was in syndication from way back, so.
Lady does not reveal her age. Just
She's
kidding.
60.
She just sounds really young.
So I don't know if snake or serpent is an omen of some sort of foreboding in Scandinavian time. So if anybody has any input they want to give us on that,
Be
contact us at
fantastic.
noship.net and let us know.
But his grandfather, this little boy's grandfather, her father,
Yes.
Oslog's father, was the one who
Sigurd, yeah.
killed Fafnir.
Fafnir.
Fafnir. Fafnir, the that was the
Dragon, serpent.
yeah, that's not the world serpent, is it?
I don't
Or
think
is that
so.
a different? Okay, yeah,
His
so then
name,
I
I
mean that might
believe.
not be an ill omen. That might actually be the mark of a great warrior, perhaps.
King Ecbert is bathing with some other men. They discuss the attack on Winchester. One of the men is a bishop who is hanging out on the ledge of the tub in an inelegant sitting position.
And so this made me think of like the golf course, when all the guys are sitting in the steam room. It's
Yeah.
a really odd place to have a bit of a battle,
Discussion.
discussion.
Maybe
Everybody's naked in bathtubs. I don't.
this is like the this time period's version of the backroom deal making kind of thing. Like, this is what you're gonna do for me, and this is what I'm gonna do for you. Even though this guy's a king and he's not really offering to do anything for anybody else, he's just basically informing them what they're gonna do for him.
Yes. Yeah, they question him about the worth of the sacrifice of Winchester and their bishop. And King Ecbert, calmly but still only barely hiding his annoyance, explains that he needed to know where they would strike so he could locate them. He now plans to send the bishop out to meet them and possibly earn martyrdom. Gulp, says the bishop.
Yeah, he's pretty much getting sent into the lion's den.
Yeah, really. He's kind of like, you're gonna have a chance, because the guy,
He must not like him.
the guy's like, oh, any man of the cloth would be willing to martyr himself for the cause of Jesus Christ, and he's like, oh, that's great, because you're gonna have that chance real soon.
Plus, he was the only guy in there with clothes on, so maybe he just wasn't one of the guys,
Yeah. Well, the
Yeah.
way he said for Jesus Christ, the way I took it, he's like, for Jesus Christ and not you. Like the because he put kind of like
Oh, I
an
didn't even think
emphasis on
about
that. I
didn't
that.
catch that either, but that's a really good point. Yeah.
But King Egbert's like, yeah, you're
You're
going.
still a pawn, and I'm
Yeah.
still moving you up
You're
next to
still
the
gonna get
queen.
that
Yeah.
opportunity. So the world serpent is Jörmungandr.
Yeah, I wasn't about to accept
Yeah.
that.
That's a safe word in a Eurotrip right there. Meanwhile, back with the Vikings, Athelstan continues to harass. Nope, Athelstan's not hassling her Athelstan.
He's gone psychotic from killing himself.
Athelstan is harassing Floki just by being alive. How about
Yeah.
that? You can save it. He's still harassing him.
So Floki's harassing Athelstan. Athelstan is claiming that he is converted. Floki does not believe him.
I mean, he killed a freaking bishop. I love Floki, Floki, Floki.
He killed a bishop. He killed a number of the British soldiers when they, in that river scene. And which was it, last episode? Or the episode, yeah, the
Yeah, it
second
was the last
episode of the
episode.
season. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much more proving this guy's got to do, but Floki's just still not buying it.
And he says, wearing a dog turd does not make you a dog.
Sounds like you've done this. A long night of drinking. There's Floki with dog turds on him.
Floki's patting his back. Trust me, I know from experience.
Yeah. I've got some in my pouch.
But he always has that really dark sense of humor about him, because he
Yeah.
puts the the skeletal hand on his shoulder.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. See, I mean, at least he used it, 'cause I thought he was gonna make something out of it.
He still might. We might see it on him later.
He's like the type of guy to where if you knew him now, you couldn't leave him alone in your house if you're at a
Oh,
party
yeah.
because you would just hear something crash off in the distance. You'd be like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Ragnar asks King Horik how he finds England. Ragnar talks about the soil and the crops, as well as the potential of England for the Scandinavians. King Horik wants to know how the Saxons would welcome them.
Pretty cool scene because he's bringing up, the soil and smelling it, and it's another side to him that we don't see as often as we have in the past.
We
I
can.
never thought that he took farming that serious because even in the last season he was always focused on raiding and going over the sea. You never really saw him actually farming.
He's a self-made man.
Yeah, you tend to forget that he's a farmer until they bring it back up because the show focuses so much on him. His ascendancy to the earldom and the fighting and the plotting and the raiding.
It's another connection he and LaGuertha had
Yeah.
with their parents being
But he
farmers.
brings up a really good point, though. Because, I mean, Scandinavia is some pretty rocky land. And over in England, it's nice and fertile. So why wouldn't you just want to move everybody over there? And then everybody gets a share of that. And, they can either live in peace with these people who already live there, or they can slaughter them all. Six one, half dozen the other.
Well, that's what they're theorizing is why they started raiding in the first place, Vikings.
No, I came up with that. Don't try to give historians credit for that.
Okay.
That's my idea.
Well, you can take it up with the historians. So we cannot forget about Jarl Borg, who if you couldn't hear it, I had the closed captions on when I was watching it earlier today, and a lot of the men kept saying, "Fine choice." That's a fine choice
Talking
about his
about his wife.
Oh, God.
This chick looks like she's about 16.
Yeah.
It's just that's the weird. Like, if people were yelling that to you when we got married, it would have pissed me off.
Fine choice. Going up and checking your teeth.
Yeah, I know.
Child-bearing hips. This is good.
So we are reminded of the treachery of his brother that he had talked to Rollo about. Borg talks about the insult of being left behind by Ragnar and King Horik.
And you would think that he wouldn't like Rollo because he turned on his brother. You think it would be a bit of a sour spot with him.
But he used it to relate to
That's
Rollo
true.
initially, so
That's
that's
true.
why.
But his character is such that he wants people to be loyal to him, and it really doesn't matter what oaths they might be breaking to do so.
Yeah, but that, like, initially when he first told the story to Rollo, it was a way to, like,
No, I
have.
understood. That's why I'm saying, that's why I don't think that he wouldn't praise Rollo for trying to stick with his brother. He would, it'd be like, well, screw you then. If you don't want to side with me, then you're dead to me, kind of thing.
Yeah, I think he calls him a traitor and a drunk, right?
I
I
believe
think so,
so.
yeah.
And then, yeah, he announces that. And so you were right about predicting what
I
happens,
know, that's
Paul.
awesome.
I was going to bring that up. Nobody did, but yeah,
And
last week's predictions got borne out.
yes, he announces that they plan to punish by seeking vengeance against Ragnar by seizing his lands and killing
Poor Ragnar.
Rollo.
And Ragnar wanted him to go. Stupid other king. What's his name?
King Horik.
Horik.
Ragnar's easy pickings compared to King Horik. I don't think he could go and take Denmark.
Yeah, but if when Ragnar comes back home,
Oh, it's going to be bad.
this is, I mean, Jarl Borg almost didn't pull this off, and he was fighting against Rollo and a bunch of old men, women,
And
and
boys.
boys,
And kids, girls too.
and
There's little
they
girls.
almost fought him to a standstill. So it's like, if he was going to try this, well, obviously he wasn't going to try this when Ragnar was home, but I guess he's just maybe hoping against hope that Ragnar dies on the
That
raid,
never comes
never
home.
comes home. I don't
Oh,
know.
he's in deep shit.
He's not a chess player.
But no.
He's an idiot. That's what he is.
So Ragnar and his men meet with the men sent by King Ecgbert. They are led by the bishop and the other bathtub dude. I don't.
The bathtub click.
Bathtub buddies.
The bishop is clearly nervous
The
and
steamers.
asks the steamers,
Yeah. The Essex
the long
steamers.
necks, the long necks.
Oh no.
That would be such an awesome shirt, the Wessex steamers. Long neck for life.
Okay, Bishop is okay. The bishop is clearly nervous and asks how much longer they plan to stay. Ragnar makes mention of staying and talks of peace. The bishop says he will relay this message to the king. And of course, it's hilarious because Ragnar's rolling up his
Oh, totally
stole.
fucking with
Yeah, I
him.
guess.
Yeah.
He knows how to unnerve people, like in the last episode where he's holding the head, and this something as simple as just messing with his garments completely unnerves the
Well,
guy.
you're up in somebody's personal space like that. This guy's obviously not a fighting man. You know, he wouldn't have a chance in one-on-one combat, and their whole party against the Viking party would get slaughtered anyway. So this guy's already on edge, and then you've got the leader of these, you know, invading Norsemen coming up and just playing with your garment. You know,
Yeah.
it's just kind of like,
Well, the Vikings sometimes are childlike. Like I felt like that was kind of childlike but intimidating at the same time. And the way I couldn't explain why it was funny. They were like thought it might be a trap, the chapel, but it just reminds me of something I've seen in movies where you've got like a non-native showing up somewhere and they see something that's completely non-threatening and they're all like,
Yeah, it's
oh! You
almost
know?
yeah,
That's what
almost
it reminds
like
me of.
monkeys dancing around a TV. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? Kind of like hitting it with their bones. Like, what is this gonna do?
So the bishop says he will relay his message to the king. King Horik kills the bathtub dude. I don't think he
And
liked his face
he was
or.
eyeballing them through that whole
it
little
looked like he was
back and
trying to
forth.
count how much, like, assess their whole group. You know what I mean? Because he would look, and it looked like he'd lean and count. Like, okay, they've got 60 men. 15 women or whatever. It looked like he was assessing them. And then King York is just.
Well, that guy kind of had a bad attitude face from the very first second we saw him. So King
Bad
Hork was
attitude face.
like, killing you right now. I don't trust you.
Didn't please Ragnar, though, you know, because it
No.
totally demeans the peace treaty.
And that's when I said earlier when he was looking on while they were torturing that bishop. And he looks, I think, disturbed by it a little bit. But you know, he lets it go. His ruling style's interesting. You know, it's like he knows everybody is, it's like a self-reliant culture. Everybody has like rules themselves in some way, but he's still a leader. And I don't know how to describe his leading style though, even though I can point those specific things out, if
Well, he's
any.
very permissive in a certain sense until you breach a certain boundary,
Yeah.
and then he's just likely as to kill you as not.
It's like he's developing his boundaries still or something, maybe. Or redefining his boundaries possibly in the process.
All I know is he didn't like that.
No.
Yeah.
And I think King Horik did it because he wanted, first of all, he didn't like the guy. And secondly, I think he wanted to send a message that we're serious about this. You either come up with some sort of peace treaty that we can all deal with, or this is going to be everybody's fate.
And then the trouble, or the bishop has trouble getting on his horse to flee.
That's funny.
The humor in this show when it
He should
happens
spend
is.
more time swimming in that tub, not sitting on the
Well, yeah, he
ledge.
was like half in and half out, though. I mean, it was funny.
Half in the tub, half on the horse.
Do a little bit of
Everything's halfway.
those old lady exercises in the pool that they do, you know, with their little water weights.
Kick.
Supposed to be good if you have arthritis. Okay.
Okay.
I am 60. I would know this. Dinner time at Lagertha's table.
Oof. Awkward.
The Earl mocks Bjorn and then claims he wants to help Bjorn. Guy's a dick, and the way he just looks at him with his eyes all wide,
Oh,
like talking to
yeah.
him like
I
this.
want you happy. No.
Yeah.
No. You want me dead.
Bjorn wants to live in a cabin by himself. Lagertha looks on proudly. The Earl will not let him, though. That was awesome that Bjorn wants to do that. He wants to, you know, find out what's essential to life, not have servants, and I think
I think he
that is
wanted
just.
to go see his dad, too. I think it's a way out. If you're up living in the woods by yourself somewhere, it gives you the freedom to go and see, because he even says it earlier, he wants to see his dad. So if you're up there, you have the freedom again, and you don't want to kill this guy for abusing your mom, or there's the way he obviously hates being there. You know, it's a great way that he puts it, but I think he just wants an escape and an easy way out. That's why his mom's happy too, because he didn't bring up, you know, because the guy was goading him into saying something about, oh, how can I make you happy? Well, if it had been me, I would have been like, well, quit hitting my fucking mom, you know? But he's smart. He's like, I just want to go live by myself away from all of you
Yeah, I think you're right.
douchebags.
I think it would give him opportunity to see his dad because I think he's tied down quite a bit.
Absolutely.
And I think he probably also thought it would give his mother what she wanted because she wants him taken care of. And I think he sees the writing on the wall, and the only way he's going to be taken care of is if he takes care of himself. And LaGertha looks pissed also when
Oh, yeah.
the Earl says that he can't do it. That guy's, oh my God, what the f
Good casting, because he looks, he acts and looks like a douchebag.
I wish we could have seen
No
like
offense to the actor.
them meeting and why she, was that he the only Earl she could get with? I
Well,
She couldn't find a nice farm somewhere and settle down.
maybe he was, kind of like a greeting card, put the greeting card side out first, and then
Yeah.
once they got married, turn into the bastard. Had it once he got his, dirty little claws on her.
Just like us, kind
Okay, so boats are spotted off Kattegat. Siggy runs to wake Rollo. I guess he's sleeping in that
He
day
always
because.
taking naps. This time, at least he's inside, so he must be getting
Well, it wasn't
a
snowing
little.
out, so he might as well sleep inside
Well,
today.
maybe they wouldn't let him before when he wasn't Ragnar's brother. Now that he's moved up on a totem pole, he can
I
sleep
guess.
indoors.
Maybe.
Doesn't have to act like a dog with poop on him.
He knows, but it's that dog turd does not make him a dog. So yeah, she tells him of the boats. Rollo guesses correctly that Borg is attacking and prepares the village. Siggy suits up for battle. Rollo tells her to take Auslaug and the children up into the mountains. She follows his instruction, thankfully, because she just looked like you could just hit her with a twig and she'd fall over.
He's like, "What are you doing? What do you think?"
Then she'd be Twiggy.
She's like, I oh.
Damn Twiggy.
Oh, what? I'm not LaGertha?
Oh, yeah. Throw
No,
that in his
you're
face
not.
right now. That's a great idea. Let's have a fight right before we get attacked.
Which that's like the only we haven't seen him react to the fact that LaGertha's gone. I was wondering if there would be something about
There might
that.
have been a few drunk nights where he was like, "Get the fuck away from me. You're not LaGertha. She understood me."
Oh. Rollo leads the village pretty well with what few resources he had available.
God, he's such a badass. You got to give him credit in
He
this scene
is.
too, because he just clubs everybody that comes near him. I don't think anybody gets a second swing on him.
Everybody is fighting, the old, the women, the young. A little boy calls for Rollo at one point, and Rollo went and saved him. Borg tries to fight with Rollo, and they actually had some pretty good,
Yeah, some
that
slashes at
it was
each other.
intense. Borg's a pretty good fighter himself. Rollo announces to fall back. Rollo has more in store for Borg, but it is still not enough. Rollo is told to go and protect Ragnar's children, that it is more important than himself. He does as instructed with misgivings. The old warrior walks out to meet Borg's men head on. He feigns surrender only to get some more axe hits in before he is sent to the gods. Rollo watches with the others from afar. Rollo appears torn up. Borg has conquered Ragnar's lands, and he is quite pleased with himself for the moment until next episode.
I wonder what happens with the seer. Do you think he just kind of hides in his little duty hole, or?
He's hiding under a pile of bones.
I think the seer probably holds a certain position in the overall culture to where it's you just don't mess with that guy, or else you're screwed. It doesn't matter if he's living in this village or that village, and I never really got the impression that, well, yeah, maybe I did from the first season. I mean, does the seer live in that particular
It
village
seemed
of
like
Kattegat?
it.
Or is he kind of like
Because he
somewhere a
talked
little
about
bit?
the other Earl pretty
Yeah,
freely.
they
You
so
would
he's
think
at
he
least close.
absolutely. I think I always envision him in the village,
Yeah, that's how I
because how's that guy gonna take care of himself? He can't see,
That's true.
and not that anything against blind people, but in this particular case, it didn't even. I mean, it just looked like he lived in that hut.
Being a holy person, for lack of a better term, for their religion, it seems like people would probably supply him with everything that he needs,
Oh,
like bring him
absolutely.
food and stuff like that. So unless he's roommates with the Medicus and
That's what I was thinking. The Medicus
it
shows up.
takes care of everything.
Come on with me if you want to live. Not
Extends a hand.
that hand.
Not the licked hand.
Take my strong hand.
Yeah.
That's my pregnancy test. Okay, so.
Okay, before we do the speculation, we're just going to go over some feedback. We were asked a question on our Facebook page by Dan Dewing asking if we were going to go over season one. And we have talked about this before. We are planning on, when we finish this season,
Yeah.
doing season one. So
Try and keep
Definitely.
up. Absolutely. I think it'll be awesome too because we'll have a little more background for ourselves on watching the show, and we should be able to flow right into season one.
It'll be funny to pot on it from hindsight too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, when we did Spartacus, I mean, we were rewatching it, so.
Yeah, Steve and I were rewatching it, and Paul was watching it for the first time. And but it's nice to do that because you can kind of pick up on things that you wouldn't have picked up.
The little nuances that they throw at us.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome.
So to answer your question, yes, we are definitely going to do that.
All right, thanks, Dan Dewing. And anybody else wants to ask us any questions, our Facebook page and our Twitter page are accessible on noship.net. All right.
Now we're on to
Speculation section.
speculation.
Oh, by the way, the next episode, which I've already mentioned, but the next episode is called Eye for an Eye. So
Ruh-roh.
Jarlborg's going to get it.
Is it Jarlborg or is it the Vikings for killing that other king's
Yeah.
guy?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was
Oh,
thinking.
yeah.
'Cause they're still on English soil right now, so the eye for an eye could, but Rollo's still up in the mountains too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, somebody's going to have to stay and occupy Ragnar's land or else that was just a raid
No,
for
they were
nothing.
taking it over.
Yeah, so.
And maybe Rollo will find out, where LaGertha is, and that's where
Yeah.
they'll go.
I'm pretty sure that's where they're going to end up. And then how does.
Rollo and Bjorn would make a pretty badass team.
Good Lord, yeah.
That would be a really good episode.
They still need more men, and I don't know if that Earl would supply.
Yeah, that's a
Well, I
shame.
mean,
Unless he feels like he would get something in
he
return.
kind of has to because he's just an earl, and that's the king and Ragnar are going out to do some raiding, so doesn't he have
Well,
a responsibility too?
going back to that conversation at the dinner table, he says, "I know you're the son of the great Ragnar Lothbrok." So he
He's
already knows.
jealous.
Well, he knows who this guy is, so he at least has some respect for him. And then he wants to please his mom, and he asks him three different times, I think it is, "What do you want? What can I give you to make you happy?" So what if that's the answer to it? He's not going to let him go and live in a cabin in the mountains and freeze or starve to death.
Right.
But he may give him the forces that he needs to go save his father's village. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, I think he would go lead and do it himself.
Possible.
And then bring his Bjorn with him.
Yeah.
Or make Bjorn stay with his mom.
Oh, but that's not going to happen. He's not going to
No,
stay.
And then I've got a feeling that the king in what's the king in England right now?
Egbert
Egbert.
of Wessex,
Yes, of Wessex.
King Egbert.
I got a feeling he's going to double back and fuck with the boats, maybe. It's possible because he wants to find out where they're at. And he says earlier in the episode, they never travel far from their ships, so it's possible that he double back to get his ships. I mean, that's what I would do. Trap them and then kill them.
Yeah. And we never found out what happened to those other ships. Maybe they're still out there.
That would be cool.
Oh,
They
yeah.
could be raiding another part of Europe.
Yeah, or they, maybe they're in Greenland right now. Or Vinland.
Canada.
Yep. That's Vinland. Or maybe they'll show up just in the nick of time and flank King Egbert's men.
It's possible. So there's a lot of different eye for an eyes that we could possibly get next episode. Although, I mean, I'm glad Rollo stood up though, so it's nice to see,
Maybe LaGertha will bitch slap the Earl. That'll be an eye for an eye.
Well, the Jarlborg's forces didn't look that big, so it doesn't seem like it would take much to come back and take
Yeah, he did have a pretty
in
small.
like four or
I mean,
five ships.
if the same raiding
More went
party,
to England with Ragnar and
yeah,
came
that's what I'm
home.
saying. If the same raiding party came back, they'd be overmatched already. So,
Well, with the ones that we know that survived, because there was five ships that we know survived the trip at this point. So,
even so, I think they would still be because those are all the fighting men.
yeah, and they're all better fighters anyway.
Honestly, I don't have a whole lot of speculation personally for this episode because so much was done
Given to
since
us.
the end of, yeah, given to us.
I don't know, but I mean, who knows if Ragnar and them leave, is the King of Wessex gonna come and follow them back to their land and attack them there? I mean, he doesn't seem like one to just lay down and not, you know, I think.
I don't think, unless they get a ship, and maybe that could be something that they're able to do with the ships that foundered, maybe. Because mm-hmm. I don't think they have the technology
to go that far. I want
to. Well, they
say
have
they
to. Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. But I just, the technology they don't have is to
navigate
the ship and also to ride up rivers at the same time with the same. I think mm-hmm. that's what it is.
They can beach a ship, yeah. but they can't navigate it up a mm-hmm. river, so that limits them.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know a lot about.
Well, it's gonna be good.
Maritime history.
Yeah, I have a lot of faith in the writer. So whatever it is, it's gonna be good.
Yeah.
Apple Sand's gonna get back at Floki and put that fingery bone up his nose or something while he's sleeping. I hope he keeps playing with it like they're walking down the road and Floki taps him on the shoulder with it. Excuse me.
Yeah, I think we're going to see him with the bones again.
Sweet.
I don't know, but.
Sweet.
That just seems like in character.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so thank you for listening, and next time we'll be talking about Eye for an Eye. Have a good day.
Good night.
Later.
This was a No Ship Network podcast brought to you by Esoteric Studios and Axolotl Tank Productions.